Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
From NPR and WBUR, I'm Robin Young.
And I'm Sasha Pfeiffer. It's Here and Now. In a few minutes, the case of three Afghan soldiers who tried to flee to Canada while visiting the U.S.
But first, this week, a leading drug company in China announced it's bought the rights to commercialize an Ebola drug developed by the military. So where is the U.S. on drug development? The five patients with Ebola here were treated with different experimental drugs, rinzidofovir, ZMAP, TKM, Ebola. Some were also given blood transfusions from recovered patients. Dr. Brett Jirwa heads the Texas A&M Health Science Center, home to one of the three federally funded centers charged with developing vaccines. And they're also trying to partner with a business that does hydroponics to try to help the small company that developed ZMAP expand production. But he says they need many more federal dollars. Dr. Jirwa is also director of the new Infectious Disease Preparedness Task Force in Texas. So, Doctor, just give us a brief thumbnail of the experimental treatments.
The four potential experimental treatments you've outlined are really all very different. The brincidofovir is more like a classical antibiotic would be for bacteria. So it actually is a drug that inhibits the virus specifically. TKM Ebola is another one of those antiviral drugs, but it's a completely new and novel platform. It's not like the small little chemical molecules we have. It's something called siRNA, so it's a new platform. ZMAP is a whole different type of potential therapy. It is a group of three antibodies. Now, antibodies are what your body normally makes to fight these infections after you get a vaccine. But if you haven't had time to do that, these are artificially produced antibodies against Ebola, and they're made in plants. And the final therapy or potential experimental therapy you talked about was serum from a patient who's actually survived. And the thought there is that patient survived and will have natural antibodies in that blood serum that could be transferred and potentially help the patient.
So none of the drugs have been approved by the FDA. What happens now? Are these going to be fast-tracked?
Well, not only are these not approved by the FDA, which means they've gone through the full gamut of testing, but these are still very, very early in clinical development. ZMAP, for example, has only been given, to my knowledge, to three humans. It went right from early trials in non-human primates right into a person. So these are very early in development. So we need to get information on all of these very, very quickly to understand whether they can help. And it's still a possibility that these experimental agents could actually hurt the patient. We just don't have the data. But based on animal models, they all look very promising. And given the dire situation of some patients, it's certainly ethically justified with their approval or their family's approval to give them.
Well, and some people, as you know, especially in West Africa, are wondering. I heard a gentleman say today, why did Duncan die and the two Americans live? Now, there's so many complicating factors. His treatment was late. In other words, the fact that he died, we can't draw the conclusion that brincidofovir doesn't work.
No, we absolutely can't draw that conclusion. In fact, we can't draw any conclusions from these few human clinical trials. This is one of the issues in approving drugs for Ebola. We have to rely on the animal models, and the FDA has a special process called the animal rule to approve them. But I think what you'll see is whether the drugs are approved or not, we need to rapidly gain more experience, certainly safety experience in humans, because if you knew these were safe, you'd feel a lot more comfortable taking the chance on a patient who's sick. And remember, ZMAP looked highly promising, but there was no ZMAP. There were zero doses of ZMAP available for Mr. Duncan. It will be months, I'm told, from federal authorities before there is any additional ZMAP that could potentially be used for a patient.
We remind ourselves that ZMAP is made in tobacco leaves, but one of the problems is it takes a long time and a lot of crops. So one of your partners is growing those tobacco leaves hydroponically.
And it is the largest plant-made pharmaceutical facility in the world. 2 million plants grown hydroponically indoors with light-emitting diode light. So it has tremendous capability. And we would expect the federal government to access that. And indeed, this is one of our core capabilities at Texas A&M, along with three other facilities that can produce different types of vaccines, more typical types of vaccines, like the two Ebola vaccines we spoke about earlier. But the problem is that we are behind the curve right now. To be prepared for what's going on now, we would have had to receive notification from the government many, many months ago. So this really is a question of continued funding, because there will not be a real international market for most of these drugs. Now, Ebola is widespread, but God willing, it will be contained in Africa by typical public health measures far before we can have millions of, you know, drugs or vaccines out there to support it. So it really is a question of preparedness. How much of a priority are diseases like Ebola or MERS or the new diseases that we're even seeing in Texas, like dengue and West Nile virus, Chagas disease, chikungunya? My personal opinion is these really need to be higher on the priority list, or this is going to happen time and time again.
Well, meanwhile, you make this push, and we know the WHO has made it a priority to try to collect blood or plasma from Ebola patients who've recovered. Dr. Kent Brantley, the American who recovered, he got a blood transfusion from a 14-year-old boy who had recovered. He then gave it to Dr. Rick Sacra, and he's also giving transfusions, we understand, to the cameraman Ashoka Mukpa in Nebraska. But how can that be ramped up?
Each person who survives, and there are few survivors, only has a limited amount of blood. So it's not a solution on a large scale. I do want to note that we do have a couple of vaccines that are in clinical trials that look very promising, that could be used on a large scale basis. And they seem reasonably effective in animal models, and they could easily be scaled. I have spoken to many leaders within the federal government who are responsible in this area, and they are working absolutely as fast as they can to support the private companies and industries to scale these vaccines up and get them through more advanced testing.
That's Dr. Brett Jerwar, head of the Texas A&M Health Science Center, also director of the New Texas Task Force on Infectious Disease Preparedness and Response. Doctor, thank you.
Thank you very much.